Game Time 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Never ceases to amaze me what sometimes you see in this sports world. You see the report that Colin Kaepernick reportedly wanted $20 million to play in the AAF? I mean, come on, man. $20 million. Oh, God. I mean, hey, Colin Kaepernick, you want to play in the AAF? $20 million. Click. I mean, $20 million? Okay. Good Lord. That's one of the things that's been interesting about this whole thing with Cam. I don't want to get into a Colin Kaepernick discussion right now, but like, you know, the thing that's been interesting is throughout this whole process, the one person you haven't heard a ton from is Colin Kaepernick. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, really try, like throughout the last couple of years, I don't know how often we've heard quotes from Kaepernick about anything. In terms of the process of wanting to play again. So that's always something that has stood out to me. It's like, well, I mean, why you would think if you really want to play again, you would address those things, you know? But $20 million, come on, man. Ridiculous. Totally, totally, totally ridiculous. I saw this story yesterday. So according to a press release, the NCAA is going to review its transfer waiver guidelines. So, you know, the whole process of players transferring granted a waiver to be eligible right away. And it seems kind of like we're seeing more of that. We're seeing more waivers granted, guys being able to transfer and play immediately. And with the new transfer portal in college football and the increased number of waivers, the NCAA is just wanting to take a look at their guidelines. And boy, I wish I could be a fly in the wall or I could be in that room. Because there's so many different things with this, that discussion and that situation. You guys know that I'm pro player with the transfer stuff. But also, I at the same time, I think the whole having to sit out a year deterrent isn't the worst thing in the world. I really don't think it is. But I have been surprised with all the waivers granted lately, where it seems like it's, like again, like this Justin Fields, this five-star Georgia transfer. He transferred a semester to Ohio State, and he's been granted a waiver already to play quarterback right away next year at Ohio State. You're like, under what ground? Like, huh? Hell, even Noah Vedral. Love me some Noah Vedral, but I still don't quite grasp how he got a waiver to be eligible last year. Although I will say this, Vedral would fall under the category of how I would structure things for waivers of immediate eligibility. Because to me, if I were in that room and someone were to say, all right, Nick, what do you think? Well, how do you see this thing? I would say, well, first and foremost, the first thing that I would like to see implemented is if your coach gets fired or leaves for another job, to me, you can transfer and be granted a waiver to play right away. That to me is just the right thing to do. I know we all want to speak in this, in a perfect world, you commit to the school, not the coach. Come on, you're committing, oftentimes the coach is the situation you're committing to. I mean, because who's to say what, look at Nebraska, look at Tanner Lee. I mean, look at Tanner Lee's whole career. Tanner Lee was a pro-style pocket passer, non-running quarterback. He's at Tulane, there's a coaching change. The new coach brought in more of a style that needed a running quarterback. So that style doesn't fit him. Same thing with Nebraska. I mean, a huge part of being able to play quarterback for Scott Frost is you got to be able to run, right? Tanner Lee, people forget that Tanner Lee had another year to play. But he decided he just was going to enter the NFL draft. But to me, Like in those sorts of situations, a coaching change comes and all of a sudden, you know, it's a totally different style. You know, if a coach, if there's a coaching change, your situation changes. And I also would like to see, you know, if a coach can leave and go coach right away, I think the players coached by that coach, at the very least, should be granted the same right. So in this instance, if Scott Frost can leave Central Florida and go coach at Nebraska right away, well, then Noah Vedral should be able to leave Central Florida and go play at Nebraska right away. That would be the first thing that I think needs to get implemented. There's a coaching change. Coach leaves, coach gets fired. Has to be the head coach, not a position coach. Has to be the head coach. Then I think a player should be able to leave right away. But then the problem is, after that, if a committee went, okay, Nick, I agree, what else? Then it's hard to get something in writing on paper that neatly defines what fits and what doesn't fit the waiver situation, right? It's hard. Like, I would say, well, then I think you just got to have a committee of, I don't know, 10 people or whatever. And they're going to have to just review cases one by one and use common sense and logic and judgment to decide whether to grant waivers. Could be a family situation. Could be the school gets put on postseason ban and all of a sudden it's different at that school. Things like that. Like, I got no issue with Shea Patterson being eligible immediately, transferring from Ole Miss to Michigan. Because all of a sudden, that situation at Ole Miss, there was a bunch of stuff that he had nothing to do with, happened before he even got there, lands Ole Miss in a postseason ban and massive sanctions. Or for people at, like, Penn State with the Jerry Sandusky situation. Like, all that stuff breaks, and all of a sudden, stuff that happened 20 years ago makes it so people weren't even alive when this stuff was happening, and now they're on a postseason ban. To me, when that's the case, those sorts of things should be granted a waiver. So a situation like that, a player's mother gets sick and you need to come back home to be closer to the family to help out with whatever, you know, situations like that. That, unfortunately, I can't sit here and define it for you and write every situation up. Because if you ask me to define and write up every possible scenario in which I think a waiver could be green-lighted for them to be able to play right away, I mean, I'd need 1,000 pages. So to me, the hard part is I don't know how you define that stuff on the front end. Because each situation may be totally different, yet fit a waiver. I do think if you want to do the academic side of things, that players have to at least meet a bare minimum standard of an academic requirement. But in terms of defining the front end of what gets granted a waiver and what doesn't, outside of a coach leaving or getting fired, you have a waiver. I don't know how you define it on the front end. But again, I'm okay with the rule from a broad sense where if you transfer, you have to sit out a year. If your reason you want to transfer is, man, I wish I was playing more. Nah, man. Man, I'm just not happy. Okay, well, you know, sorry. And listen, that's coming from someone that transferred. And you know what my reason was? I wanted to play more. But I do. I'm pro player when it comes to trade. You listen to the show all the time. 90% of the time, I'm going to defend the player that transfers. But I feel like I can be pro player, but also think that we do need to have some sort of deterrent in place with transferring. And to me, the fact that you have to sit out a year is a massive one. You know how many dudes out there contemplate transferring, but then go, but I got to sit out a year? Man, I'm not trying to sit out a year. Nah. Because if you just make it so there is no rule with that, you don't have to sit out a year, you can transfer anywhere and play right away, That, my friends, to me would be a disaster for college football and college basketball. I'll go as far as to say this with that in mind. I think instituting that, and by that I mean you can transfer and play right away. You don't have to sit out. I think that would have a far greater impact on the sport than allowing players to make money off their image and likeness. I really do. Because think about it this way. What applies to more players? Disgruntled, frustrated players who are impatient and unhappy with their role or playing time and want to go find a new situation? Or players who could truly attract a lot of money off of their own image and likeness? Who do you think there are more? If we had to just file, those are the two files, and you had to file players into each category, which category is going to have a larger pool of players? To me, it's the disgruntled, frustrated players who are impatient and want to find a new place to go play right away. I think we sit there and say, like, oh, man, you let players make money off themselves. Man, I mean, how many players on Nebraska's football team right now could truthfully attract a lot of money off of their own image? Like two? Martinez and Spielman? You're telling me Valentino's wants to sign a massive lucrative endorsement with, like, Ben Stilley? Come on. We always, because here's the thing, I think we always paint doomsday, Wild Wild West with this stuff. I do think it would be a little bit Wild Wild West if there was no deterrent from transferring and having to sit out. I really do. So I may be calling, BS when people say, man, it's you're opening up Pandora's box by letting players make money off their own image. I disagree. But I do think you're opening up Pandora's box if you're going to let all these players can just leave and go play right away. To me, you give way to those people, look out. It would be crazy each year. The shuffling of rosters would be nuts. I mean, it'd be nuts. So I don't think college athletics would be all that different if you allowed players to enter into legitimate agreements to make money off their own image and likeness. Because in all reality, the amount of players that actually like have a legitimate impact like that, not as big as you think. That's how I see it. So I do think you have to have some sort of deterrent in place to make players think twice about transferring schools. This is coming from a guy that transferred. I mean, that was one of, when I was sitting in the Jayhawk Towers in Lawrence, Kansas in 2004, 2005, it would have been, thinking about transferring. Man, one of the biggest things that I would weigh in my mind, I was like, man, I got to sit out of here. I don't want to sit. I mean, it weighs on people, man. But at the same time, I do believe there should be instances where players are granted waivers to play right away when transferring. And to me, the first no-brainer policy should be coach gets fired, coach gets leaves, players are granted waivers to transfer and play right away. After that, I think the only way to do it is having a committee that reviews waiver requests, which is how they already do it. And I don't know how you define that on the front end in terms of criteria that fits a waiver. It's really tough to define. Because just when you think you've covered everything, there's a new situation that presents itself. And you go, And now you've painted yourself in a corner because you didn't define it in the first place. Sorry. Well, you got to give yourself some wiggle room. So it's tough to define, but I feel like it's one of those things you'd kind of know it when you see it. Know it when you review it. Know it when you come across it. So there you go. Could you imagine? Each year, players can just leave and go. Man, be crazy. Like right now, for Rondell Moore at Purdue could go. If he wants to go to Ohio State this year, boom. If he wants to go to Clemson, boom. Martinez, Let's say all of a sudden Clemson's like, Ohio State's like, hey, we need you, Adrian Martinez. Boom.
Ooh, man.
That would be it'd be crazy. And some of you may be laughing at my doomsday scenario at that. I laugh at the doomsday scenario of people that are so terrified of players getting paid. You know, off of there. Like, would it greatly impact how you viewed Nebraska football and Adrian Martinez if you knew Adrian Martinez had a pretty lucrative endorsement contract with, like, First National Bank? Or something like that? Or Runza? I wouldn't buy it. I'm not going to go to Memorial Stadium and just be like, this is totally different now. No. Let's grab one call before we go to break. What's up, Mike? Appreciate you calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a question. Do you think that them granting all these waiver requests, because, like, I've read a few articles about it, and it seems like the committee that grants the request is kind of boasting, like, oh, we granted, like, 74% of the requests that come through. Do you think the NCAA just kind of put it in place in the face of litigation? Do you think there's just a reaction to that, or do you think they're actually trying to do what's right for the sport?
I don't know. I'd want to give them the benefit of the doubt and that they're trying to do what's right, because I do think there's probably been enough of an outcry from the coaches and the ADs and the athletic departments, which ultimately is who they're got to answer to a little bit, to a certain extent, that they feel like, okay, well, you get enough complaints, we'll reevaluate this whole thing. I think the reality of the deal is this transfer world is kind of evolving year to year, and they're trying to keep up with everything as these things evolve. That would be how I see it. But I see that. Appreciate the phone call, Mike. I mean, it's amazing how much transferring has changed. I mean, the concept of grad transfers was like, I mean, not that long ago, it wasn't even a thing. The transfer portal? I mean, what? Transfer portal. And it's a lot more prevalent now. All right, we're wide open for the next hour. We're as wide open as Brandon Cooks was in the end zone of the Super Bowl. Sorry, Jared Goff. Apologize. All right, Matt Chick's going to stop by in the 1 o'clock hour, 1:15. Can email me, nick@1620zone.com. Hit me on Twitter @NickBaugh. Game time.